Got the big 50 up here. That's not celebrating my 50th birthday. If they are, they're 21 years too late. Actually, they celebrated the 50th day of school here at the Christian school yesterday. So had a lot of special activities and things for the kids. I gave a test in one of my classes at the college this morning. And how many of you know Ayana? She's always writing jokes and stuff on her papers when she sends them in to me. So she asked me before class, she knew that my wife and I have an anniversary coming up. And on November 8th, we'll celebrate our 48th year of marriage. And so she wrote something in her about that. And I'm celebrating your anniversary already. Do I get extra credit for that? So I wrote her back. I said, when you celebrate your 48th year anniversary, I'll give you extra credit, but be sure to wake me up because I'll be 119 at that time. So we had some fun with that. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, we are thankful for another opportunity to meet together. We pray that you'll bless during our time together. Father, I pray that you'll guide our thoughts and speak to our hearts tonight through the lesson. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Bless now during this time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles, if you will, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I want to look at a familiar verse just to kind of get us started here this evening. Then we're going to go back into that champion business that we talked about last week. We hurried through that somewhat, but tonight we're going to go back and go through some scripture references for each of those points. You'll notice the verse number 8. I think this verse, perhaps more than many others that come to mind, has to be like the classic verse for all of us as teachers, because no teacher can sustain themselves in their own strength. The scripture says, as of course we know the context here, Moses is with the Lord. Joshua has been given the responsibility of leading the people of Israel into battle as they of course, begin the conquest of the Promised Land. And you know how long those battles lasted before they were over with in terms of years? 7 years. 7 years it took to conquer the Canaanites and all that crowd that was there. Here's what the Lord says to Joshua in verse 8. This book of the law, that's the scripture, of course. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's the only time in your Bible that you'll find that word success. And that's, of course, God's formula for success, not the world's thoughts on that. And, you know, a few minutes every morning in the Bible is a good thing, but it's certainly not enough for someone who wants to be effective in the Lord's work. And in order to be what God would have us to be, we must live in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to live in us. In order to be the example to our students that God intends for us to be, we must walk with the Lord. We must know the daily walk and the daily fellowship with the Lord. We must seek His wisdom in His Word. We must inquire as to His leadership. And we must ask Him, of course, for our needs. If we are to be the kind of teachers, the kind of leaders and teachers that we should be, we must know the Lord on a daily basis. And that's the number one priority in every one of our lives, our daily walk with the Lord. We all have priorities. The older we get, certainly in the Lord's work, those priorities may obviously do change throughout life. You know, when you get of age and, of course, and trick some dear lady into marrying you and that sort of thing, you know, those priorities change. Here's how I think of the priorities in my life. Number one, my number one priority, of course, is my daily walk with the Lord. My number two priority is my relationship with my dear wife. My wife loves me, praise God. What'd you guys have for supper tonight, if you ate here? Yeah. My wife knows I'm not a big fan of pasta. I'll eat it if I have to. If I was on a deserted island and starving to death, maybe. But she brought me smoked ribs and a baked potato for supper tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. She loves me. I love her. That's my second most important priority. Not the meal, but my relationship with my wife. Number three on my list, of course, is my relationship with our children, with our grandchildren. We have 6 children. We have 17 grandchildren. And 3 of our granddaughters came over last night, and we had a good time of fellowship and so forth. That's number three on my list. The fourth priority, of course, is what the Lord's called me to do, the ministry the Lord's placed me in. Some folks would say, now, wait a minute, the Lord's work comes first, doesn't it? I think about it like this. If I'm not walking with the Lord, if things aren't right between the wife and I, if I've got problems with my children and my grandchildren, how am I ever going to help anybody else? Amen? So that's my sense of priorities. And, you know, and I'm thankful for all that the Lord allows me to do in my service to Him. And but, you know, the idea comes back to, if we're going to be the kind of leaders and teachers are leaders, amen? We're all leaders in one sense or another. We must know the Lord on that daily basis. Here in this verse, these are the principles that God's teachers need to live by. It's recorded, you remember, in Exodus chapter 34. I'm having a hard time reading my notes here, but I'll see if I can get through this. It's recorded in Exodus 34 of Moses. And I think we talked about this last week, maybe, as he came down off the mount, how they had to put a veil over his face because his face radiated the glory of God from being in the presence of the Lord. And it's recorded in Exodus 34 about that business. Again, in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 4, it's written of Peter and John that the people marveled that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. People take knowledge if we've been with Jesus. Every time we walk into that classroom, be it Sunday school, be it in the Christian school, be it in the Bible college, as I have the opportunity to teach each day there, and people know if you've spent time with the Lord. Guess what? People know when you haven't spent time with the Lord, as you should as well. Amen. And so as leaders and teachers, before we stand before our class, there must be evidence by our words, by our countenance, by our the words that we speak and the spirit that we display that we've been with Jesus, that we have been walking with God. And like Moses and Peter and John, that we have been in the presence of God. You know, we don't just... I like to think, say it like this. I remember being in a staff meeting many years ago here at the school. Some of you know who Brother Fowler would be. Brother Fowler was with us for many years. He's been with the Lord for many years now. He was our school principal here for about 10 years back in the day. And I remember being in a staff meeting one day, and Brother Fowler said, "We don't just teach curriculum. We teach children." Amen. And there's a difference, of course, and obviously you have the disciplines and all the things that you have to teach in class, the academics and so on, but we don't just teach curriculum and academics. If that's all we did, then we could probably go down the street somewhere and find a job at a different school, maybe make a better paycheck and get better pay for it. No, it's about something a whole lot more important than that. We teach a way of life. We teach a way of life. We teach a philosophy, that's for sure. And you can be sure that God will hold us accountable for the philosophy that we do teach. That's why it's so important that we demonstrate daily to our classes, to our students, to our Sunday school students, that the Bible is a book to be lived by and not just read. And this is the philosophy we should have as we teach our young people the biblical principles that they can apply to their lives as well. I like to think about it like this. We are not just trying to fill the minds of our students with knowledge of God and His Word without the daily demonstration, the daily evidence, the daily walk that we have applied God's truths to our lives, of course, as well. After all this, you know, think about it like this. After all, this is a life of Christianity, not just a classroom of Christianity. God has given us a unique opportunity, and because our classrooms, our classroom is the place to teach about the Christ of our everyday lives. And it's the best way of doing that, of course, is to make the Bible alive by the leading of our students, by the example of our lives, not just our words. Here's a good verse for you on that thought. Psalm chapter 73 and verse 28. Psalm 73, verse 28. The psalmist here writes these words, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." You see the sense of progression there. It's good for me to draw near to God. Amen. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. All right, just wanted to have that for a little bit of an introduction this evening. We're going to use our Bibles quite a bit this evening. I'm going to go back to what we covered last week, and I'm not going to read all these verses. I'm going to read some of them, and then I'm going to give you other references for each of those statements we made as we did that acrostic of the champion. We said, first of all, that letter C, champion, stands for Christ-centered. Christ-centered. And let's look at a couple of verses here. I've got several, and I'll just recite some of them to you, the references, so you can get them. But we're going to look at a few verses along the way. Let's go to John chapter 5, Gospel of John chapter 5, and take note of verse number 39. Here it says, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." That's what Jesus says. They, the Scriptures, are they which testify of me. Being out soul winning, sometimes it's not all that uncommon to find someone where you talk to them about, give them the plan of salvation, talk to them about, you know, knowing that we're on our way to heaven, knowing that we're saved. Sometimes you get a response that I've received a few times, even recently, where people will say, "Nobody can know that. Nobody can know that." I learned a long time ago, actually from Dr. Hiles, in a book that I had from Dr. Hiles as a teenager, in fact, about soul winning. And he said, you know, when you witness to somebody and they allow you to open the Word of God, and of course you start quoting Scriptures to them and so on and so forth, and because the power is in God's Word, amen? God doesn't necessarily promise to bless our words, but He will always honor and bless His Word. But sometimes people say, nobody can know that. Nobody can know for sure, you know, until they're dead, whether they're going to heaven or hell. And, of course, we all know 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Remember that one? "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," not hope, not wish, "that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." I learned a long time ago from some of those studies that, you know, you could get people comfortable talking about the Word of God when you say, you know, there's all these Scriptures. Starts out in the book of Genesis. That's the book of beginnings. It tells us everything started. And you go to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. That tells us everything's going to wind up one of these days. And then I would take them to the book of Romans. If you really want to know something about salvation, then we'll find the plan right here in the book of Romans. But when they ask me that, when they make that statement that nobody can know, I take them to the book of 1 John. And I did a little bit of a word study in 1 John not long ago. And if you underline all the words throughout all the chapters, there's five chapters, the word know, or a variation of that word know or knoweth, things of that nature, known. If I counted correctly, there's like 39 of those. And so I tell people, if we really want to know whether you're going to heaven or not, this book will tell you can know. And of course, the primary verse, of course, there is chapter 5, verse 13. And I've seen the Lord use that to help get the gospel across. All right, let's move on to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Again, we're still dealing with letter C in champion, the fact that the Christian teacher is to be Christ-centered. Acts chapter 17, verse number 11 is the reference here. We read about the church in Thessalonica. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And let's back up a verse. Verse 10, he's talking about the church in Berea. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Here's our primary verse now, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And here we go again. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. All right, again, our thought is of the Christ-centered believer that is being used of the Lord to teach others, to give evidence that Christ has become the Lord of their life and so forth. Here's another verse for you, and then I'll just give you a few more without turning to them. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Paul's writing to the young preacher Timothy, and he reminds him of his godly heritage. What a blessing. And you know, there are folks that have a godly heritage. Their families are saved going back for generations. Not everybody can claim that. I certainly couldn't claim it. And praise the Lord, you know, that. And I tell our students sometimes in the college, sometimes we have students that come and they're just like I was when I started Bible college. I didn't have any support from home. My dad expected me to, if I wanted to go to college, and I did go to college, I went to a secular college for a year, and halfway through that year, I gave my life to the Lord. And I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, help me to take my hands off my life. You put your hands on me. And the next year, I was in Bible college being trained to serve the Lord in a full-time way. He reminds Timothy here of his godly heritage in this verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All right, just a variety of scriptures that come to mind here. Here's some more to jot down. We won't take the time to turn to them for time's sake. A couple of thoughts here out of the Psalms. Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 8. Psalm 32 and verse 8. These aren't in any given order here. Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. And also Psalm 18, verse number 30. Psalm 18, verse number 30. Also Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 on that thought. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. And then finally, and you will all recognize this one, Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. All right, let's go to the letter H in our lesson here on the champion Christian teacher. Letter H, we said, stands for humbly obedient. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. A lot of great thoughts in this sixth chapter, starting right there at the top. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, and so on. You go down to verses 5 and 6. That's what I want you to get on your notes there. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, talking about obedience. It says, servants, be obedient. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. All right. Very important statement here. Talks about how we are to serve the Lord. How are we to serve the Lord? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. The Lord has the ability, of course, to even know our thoughts before we have them, the Bible tells us. He certainly knows our heart. We can look on the outside, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord knows our motives. The Lord understands, of course, things that we fail to realize at times. And this business of obedience, if we're not careful, we sometimes get into a rut in a lot of different areas of life, and we can get that way in the service to the Lord, too, if we're not careful, and just serve the Lord because that's our duty, that's what we're assigned to do, and that's what our responsibilities are, and our heart might be a million miles away, you know? That's the thought there, all right? Go with me to Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. And again, we're going to start in verse number 20, where it talks about children obeying their parents. Go ahead and put down the reference, and then I'll read it. Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 through 24. Colossians 3, verses 20 through 24. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service, here we go again, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. All right, here's a couple other verses for you on letter H. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Remember, that's the passage where King Saul got in trouble with God over who was it, the Amalekites, if I remember right, that they were supposed to wipe them out and not keep anything for a spoil. And so the prophet Samuel comes to the place and asks Saul, what means this bleeding in my ears? Not blood bleeding, but he's talking about the sheep and the other animals that had been, were supposed to have been wiped out as well. And of course, Saul blamed it on the people. And the statement's made there, to obey is better than sacrifice. Put that into your notes. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. To obey is better than sacrifice. And Saul's reign as a king at that time began to come to an end. It took a while before that all came to pass, but it did happen. Also, one other verse under at letter H, Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. All right, that brings us to letter A, and in our thoughts about the champion Christian teacher, letter A stands for anxious for nothing. Not worried about what's going to happen today or tomorrow, just be faithful serving the Lord. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. A lot of great verses on that thought. Here's some of them right here. We'll read about three different verses here in this chapter, Philippians 4. Starting with verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, Paul says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He's not talking about a geographical location. He's talking about his mindset. He's talking about his emotions and so forth. You know, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Also notice verse number 13. I can do all things. We all know this verse, of course. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Sometimes it seems all but impossible to take that step of faith into whatever it is God's asked us to do. But with God, nothing's impossible, amen? And the Lord, I don't read anywhere in the Bible where God called anybody to do anything but that he equipped them for the job, amen? And he'll do the same for us. Also, skip down to verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go again to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. Again, a classic verse on this business of anxiety and fear and things of that nature. It's all part of life at times. We understand that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, what a tremendous promise this is. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Great thought right there. One other verse, I'll give you a few other verses here to jot down, but one other, I'll just quote it for you. Psalm chapter 56 and verse 3. Psalm 56 and verse 3. The psalmist wrote, and if I get it right, what time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. That's pretty close if that's not exactly it. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee, trust in the Lord. There's some scary things in life. Notice how we're out soul winning this afternoon, and we were just a few blocks away from the church here. We've been to other places in recent weeks, and people already had, you know, their Halloween decorations and stuff out there in the yards and all this crazy stuff. I told a couple of our young ladies that their guys, we team them up as far as it works out with two fellas and two ladies, and so the ladies can keep an eye on the guys and protect them if they need them, and so, and so forth. So they always know where the other couple might be. And going down the street one week here, a couple weeks ago, and some of that stuff was already out there. And two of our young ladies were standing on the side of the street waiting for their partners to finish up at a house. And so Brother Chamberlain and I pulled up, and I rolled down the window, and I said, "Ladies," I said, "when you're waiting on your partners, you know, don't just stand still. Move around a little bit." "Okay. Why?" I said, "because people will think they already put their Halloween decorations up too early, you know." And then I had to explain it. Excuse me, Miss Abby. I had to explain it to the blondes, amen. And they weren't all female either. All right, amen. Today we were way back over here, and I told Brother Chamberlain, I said, "Did you notice? There's no Halloween decorations up around here." He said, "Yeah, I wonder why that is." I said, "because this place is scary enough without that." Amen. Amen. All right, let me give you some more verses here under letter A. We won't read these for the sake of time. Again, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. And then a couple out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26. Proverbs 3, verse 26. And also Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. Proverbs 14, 26. Now let me give you a thought in regard to all this material. Certainly in the college classroom, you know, I tell in most of my classes, I tell the students on day one, part of the course requirements is for them to turn in their class notes at the end of the semester. I require them to keep up with it, type them up along the way. And of course, with the technology that's available now, some of those students, I just tell them, you know, tell the freshmen every year, as they start Bible college, I said, you know, if you're here until you earn your degree in 4 years or 6 years or however long it takes you to do that, I said, basically what we will have accomplished is we will have laid the foundation, for what you're going to study for the rest of your life if you're going to be effective in the Lord's work. And of course, that's true. Think about a pastor. How many times a week does a pastor preach? How many times a year? How many times a month? Pastor Carter was here for 50 years. That's 50 Mother's Day sermons. That's 50 Father's Day sermons. And so on and so forth. Just a lot of work, a lot of study. And so I encourage them by, you know, if they're here, they ought to be taking notes anyway. I count that as 10% of their semester grade. That's a freebie as far as I'm concerned. But I do have students that don't turn it in. So 10% right off the top. They usually don't concern themselves with a lot of the other stuff that's supposed to be turned either. So, but some of them take it to another level. And every time I give them a verse in the aftermath of that, they can push the right button and spells out that verse right there in their notes. So it's a valuable resource, of course, down the road a ways and that sort of thing. Just a thought. Letter M. Letter M in Champion stands for Master Builder. We talked about that last week. We said these statements, it's easier to build a child than repair an adult. We said the hand that holds the chalk molds the future. That was the theme of one of the school conventions I went to many years ago. Let me give you a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You remember the context of this book, this letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. He wrote two letters to them. The first one, of course, was pretty much a reprimand because there were things going on that shouldn't have been going on in that church. And there were people that were, the church was fussing and feuding with each other and divided and so on. And the first couple chapters of this book talks about the difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And some of them were buying into the wrong type of wisdom and so forth. Time you get to chapter 3, he gets to some very, very important thoughts. Look, if you will, here in verse number 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. That's our thought right there. A wise master builder. Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And then the great thought here in verse 11, for the Christian, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Our foundation is laid at the moment of our salvation. And from that point on, we begin to build upon that foundation. Every time we're in the Word of God, every time we're in church, we hear the Word of God preached, we hear the Word of God taught. As students in the school and in the college, we would apply that, this class and that class and so forth. And so we have the opportunity to take the resources that God makes available to us and build a victorious Christian life. Or we can just take those spiritual 2x4s or whatever, however you want to state that, and just let them sit on that foundation and rot away. I know people that had a brother-in-law years ago. He was raised in church, not our kind of church, but he was raised in church, and he lived in Oklahoma and married one of my wife's sisters, and he worked a job. He ran heavy equipment and building roads and airports and stuff like that. Very skilled individual, but he'd work with other people on the job. Some of these people were of other denominations. Some of them were involved in cults and so on. Every now and then he would call me at night and ask me a question that a five-year-old that came to Sunday school could have answered, And there are people like that. They sit there in church every time the doors are open, if for no other reason than just to keep peace in the family. As a young person, keeping mom and dad off their back, or that sort of thing. I see some of that crowd every Sunday morning around here, by the way. As soon as Sunday school's over and the kids are all into their junior churches, I make a tour around the property. I check rooms that were used for Sunday school that are not used during the 11 o'clock hour to make sure the air's off, make sure the lights are off, make sure the room's secured. I've found some amazing things in some of those rooms through the years. And that were troublesome with people that were hiding out, young people, and so forth. So that hasn't happened in a long time because they know somebody's checking up on it. But my goodness, you think about how that it's important to secure things and important to realize, of course, that I say it this way. Pastor Carter says it this way. He's taught our staff this for many years. We have some young ladies here that teach in our Christian school and work in our Christian school. And every year in orientation, in staff orientation, Pastor Carter would tell our teachers, all of us, remember, you are borrowing this classroom from the church. And of course, the emphasis is that the church is number one. None of this would exist without the church, without the, it's like the hub on a spoke on a wheel. It all comes down to the church. Every ministry of the church goes back into the church. Without the church, there would be no Christian school. There would be no Christian radio station. There would be no Bible college. There would be no Camp Glory. Just keep adding on to the list there, of course, of all the things that are so important. So we're talking about foundations here. Very, very important. Let me give you some other verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. And then three references from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 through 35. Proverbs 8, 32 through 35. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. We probably know that verse. How's it go? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. There you go. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And finally, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Okay, letter P was patient. And let me just go ahead and give the references to you because our time's getting away from us here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 8. I do want to look at that one. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 8. Where the scripture says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit, we're talking about patience here, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Here's some other references for you on that thought of patience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Chapter 6 and verse 11. I have that one underlined. Let me run to it real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. The scripture says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Talking about some things in the context there. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love. Here it is, patience, and meekness. All right, also add some verses here out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Proverbs 14, verse 29. I've got two verses here I want to read to you because it's right on the money as to what we're talking about here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. That's the next to the last verse in that chapter in Proverbs. Again, it's talking about patience. It's talking about having self-control and so forth. The scripture says, he that is slow to anger, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, get a mindset on what he's talking about there. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You think about a world conqueror, you think about somebody like Alexander the Great or somebody like that. And, you know, how much those type of individuals throughout history were admired because of their military wisdom and their power and so forth. God says, if you can rule your spirit, you're better than that guy. Look over in chapter 25, or I'll read it to you here. There's an additional thought along that line. Chapter 25, verse 28, that is the last verse in that chapter. Here it says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You think of the ancient cities of the world. Think of Jericho in the Bible and other places. Of course, those walls, those fortified walls, were their means of defense. And if somebody, some invading army came along, they had to really think more than twice about how to get into that city to destroy it and to take it and so forth. Here the Lord says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You go to the book of Nehemiah and you think about the devastation of the city of Jerusalem, how that God sent Nehemiah back to rebuild those walls and to help those people, of course, to rise up and be what God wanted them to be and so forth. And those people that had lived there during that year, those years of captivity, when so many of their fellow citizens, of course, had been carried off into captivity in Babylon, in a heathen land, in a very heathen place, the folks tried to continue to live there. They had no means of defense. They were vulnerable to any bunch of bandits that came along, and it was a very, very difficult lifestyle, to say the least. All right, let's move on here. Letter I, we said, is instant in prayer, instant in prayer. And again, for time's sake, I've got about 4 or 5 more minutes, so I'm just going to give you the references. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do you know God's phone number? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and so forth. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Psalm chapter 34, verses 14 through 17. Psalm 34, 14 through 17. Psalm chapter 50, verses 14 and 15. Psalm chapter 50, verses 14 and 15. Psalm 55 and verse number 22. Another tremendous promise in God's word, where it says these words, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a blessing. Psalm 55, verse 22. Also from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 through 26. Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 26. And another reference from the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Letter O, of course, stands for opportunity. Opportunity. Here's a few references on that thought. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 1. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 33. Verses 7 through 9, Ezekiel 33, verses 7 through 9. A couple from the New Testament as well. John chapter 9, verse 4. John chapter 9, verse 4. James chapter 1, verse 25. James 1 and verse 25. Our final letter in the word champion is letter N, which stands for noted for love. Several verses here. On the thought, of course, of God's love for us and our love for others. Here we go. John chapter 13, verse 35. John 13, verse 35. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Just put down the whole chapter. 1 John chapter 4. Tremendous chapter on love. 1 John chapter 4. Again, the Gospel of John, again, chapter 13, verse 34. I gave you 35, didn't I? Here's 34 as well. Also, John chapter 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. 31 and verse 3. All right, a lot of material in a short period of time, but that's a big part of our foundation. Of course, of what we'll be trying to deal with throughout the semester. Our next lesson that we'll get into when we get back next week, and let's remember, first of all, our memory verse assignment for next week is two verses, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable. You should know that one already, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. And 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, etc. All right, so we'll do that right at the top of the hour, right at the top of class next week. And then we're going to get into a lesson that's entitled, if you want to put it in your notes now, How to Become a Better Teacher. How to Become a Better Teacher. It's kind of a short lesson, but there's 20 aspects to it. We'll give you 20 steps, so to speak, to becoming a better teacher. All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to have Brother and Sister Perkins with us. And Miss Love is with us tonight, so we're good to have you. I don't normally give extra credit, but extra credit goes to the Brother Richard and Kathy for bringing the board. I didn't use it tonight, but I will. Brother Condon gets some extra credit because he went out to my house today and fixed a flat tire on my truck with some help from my son, amen? And so how much extra credit does it matter, you know? When I was teaching in the high school, every time we had a promote, like for Thanksgiving baskets, I would tell my guys, I'll give you bonus points for every can of vegetables. They would load the place down. And, you know, how much extra credit do we get? Oh, I'll give you 10 points. What's 10 points on top of zero, right? So we had some fun with that. All right, let's be dismissed. See you next time.